Bible study. Dean is out, and so he's asked me to finish up. We've got the lesson for today, and next week we begin new classes, and the adults will have classes offered here in the auditorium and in the fellowship room. Those are the only two places, so you will have that choice to make, but that will begin next Sunday. And then on Wednesday evening Bible study, we'll begin a new study in the auditorium here for the month of December, and I'll be teaching that, and it is You Can Trust Your Bible. And so if you're not involved in one of the Wednesday night Bible classes, let me encourage you to come and join us in here as we talk about that and focus on why we can be so confident that the Bible is the Word of God. It is a holiday weekend, and we have been blessed with a number of visitors. Some are still with us, and we're glad you're here. Others will be leaving today, headed back to their homes. I trust that it's been a good experience for you, and you've enjoyed it. It's been wonderful to see everybody, and that just begins the holiday season that will end this year. Are there any announcements that we need to make before we open our class with prayer? All right, will you pray with me? Our dear God and our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, we're especially thankful for this time of the year where we have had calls to look specifically at the blessings that we have and to be thankful for those. And Lord, we pray that attitude of thanksgiving will characterize us all through the years. Lord, we're especially thankful for the church. We're thankful for your eternal design and plan of the church for us to be a part of while we are on earth. And Lord, we pray that we will honor your plans, and that we will follow your will in all the things that we do. We pray that our study this morning will help to focus our attention upon that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Dean has been going through a study book, and he concluded that, and he said, you can just do whatever you want to fill in. Well, a number of years ago, I did a study series on the secret of the abundant living, and that's basically what he's been talking about. So I thought I'd just take a summary lesson of that and just wrap everything up that Dean has been discussing in his class. He has used John 10:10 as the basic text. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's the blessing of Christianity. We can have life, but it's just not life. It's abundant living. But the sad thing is that there are many that do not have the abundance in Christianity. And I hope that in those points that Dean's brought out in the past few weeks and then in the summary today, that will help us. But if you look at this, what if you were assured that you could have a joy that is greater than any other, a blessedness that is happiness in its fullest measure, an assurance of entering the everlasting kingdom of our Lord, and a peace that surpasses understanding. What would you respond to that? Would you be interested? I believe so. I believe that mankind in general, from the beginning of creation, and from the point of the fall in the Garden of Eden, they have sensed the lack of these elements, these blessings in their lives. And they have striven to try to fulfill those blessings in some ways. Unfortunately, they've made some choices in trying to satisfy these that have only magnified the lack of them in their lives. But the fact that we understand here is that we ourselves cannot do that. You can't buy this. You can't do anything yourself to get this. We can't do it, but Jesus Christ can. Jesus came to provide the way, the abundant life. And that's what John 10:10 says. And He shares with us the secrets of how we can obtain this abundant life. And we'll spend most of our time in John chapter 15 this morning. So if you want to turn your Bibles over there, that's where we'll have several references as we go through the class. But here in John 14, 15, and 16, we find the secrets to obtaining those qualities that the world is so desperate in need of. And I might make the point, the message of the Lord's church today focuses upon this abundant living that Jesus Christ is offering. What's the mission of the church? Well, the mission of the church is the mission of the Lord. And the Lord said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that's our mission. And so as we look evangelistically, as we look edifyingly within the congregation itself, that's our focus, that's our mission. We as the church are to exist, we are the church, so I guess we are plural work, but as the church, our mission is to communicate and to persuade people to enjoy the abundant life that is found in Jesus Christ. Well, through the teachings of the Lord, we're able to find the secrets of the abundant living. And in John chapter 15, if you look at the beginning of that chapter, my Bible has the heading there, Jesus is the vine, the followers are His branches. Well, as branches, we're part of the Lord. And as branches, we have a responsibility to be productive, to be alive in Christ. And the first point that He brings, now we're going to approach this really from a reverse standpoint. All right, let me explain what I mean. The first thing, the secret of abundant living is bearing fruit. This is the result of all the other steps that we're going to see in just a few moments. But if you want to have the abundant life that Jesus Christ has said is possible, the thing you must do is to bear fruit. All right, let's look. There's different kinds of fruits. Romans 1, Paul says that he'd love to come and be in their midst and bear fruit. Well, that's winning souls. But fruit bearing is not limited to that. And there have been those that have wrongly, I believe, argued. I'm not sure why this thing's popping. I must be hitting something off. I don't know what it is. But there are some that have been wrong saying fruit bearing to the Christian is converting another person. Well, that's one of the aspects, but you can bear fruit. And you don't have to feel guilty if you never baptized a person. And you shouldn't be told, well, you're not fruit bearing if you don't baptize people. Because there's other fruits. All right, first of all, as Paul again to the Romans, sharing with those in need. And verse 27 ought to be on that as well. But what about the fruits of the Spirit? We are to develop the character in our lives, Christ-like character. And the fruits in our lives should be that of praising God and giving thanks for all that God has given us. Now, you can add to this list more fruits or more ways to bear fruit. And so the full and abundant living in the Lord, or living Christianity, is found in the fruit bearing that comes. By the way that you live, your life is blessed. And it's blessed by the way in which you do things. Now, there are some benefits that come as you bear fruit in your life. First of all, there's joy. 3 John verse 4. Paul says, there's no greater joy, he says, then I hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's a cause of joy. No greater joy. You just can't exceed that point. Happiness comes as a result of fruit bearing. Assurance. There's the absolute confidence. And then there's that peace that passes all understanding that comes as Christ is in our lives and we are bearing fruits because of our relationship with Him. These are the benefits of the abundant life in Christ. If you want an abundant life, that abundant life is seen as you are bearing fruit. But what is the secret now? Okay, I want to bear fruit. How do I bear fruit? Well, that brings us to the next point. You bear fruit only as you are abiding in Christ. The word abide in John 15 is used about 10 times. Now, anytime you see a repetition in the Bible text, that means that there's an emphasis that is being made. 10 times Jesus uses this term abide. We must abide in Him. He must abide in us. Without Him, we cannot bear fruit. Without Him, we do not have the blessings of the full assurance that is found in Christ. Look in John 15 and verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, let's just stop for a moment and think about this point. He says, if you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, in our efforts in humanitarian aid, shipping, and we've shipped over 40 different foreign countries. I was just talking to Brother Jim this morning, and we're on track this year since March to have sent or will send about 300 containers into Ukraine. That's a lot of things that we've sent. But we're not the only ones doing that. You know, there are many throughout the world that's responding to that humanitarian aid crisis. But what's the difference? The difference is we're doing it abiding in Christ. Our purpose is to do good. Our purpose is to do good in the name of the Lord so that the Lord will receive the recognition and His church will be glorified. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here in verse 5. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, in the Lord's church, as we do good works and we do good things and we bear much fruit, we're doing it because of our association with Christ. And that abiding in Christ is what links us to the blessings that comes from that. Oh, you have those in humanitarian aid organizations that feel good about what they're doing, but they're missing out on the abundant blessings that Jesus Christ is making here because we're abiding in Him. We don't have time to talk about that, but think about that and see how the connection of abiding in Christ brings great blessings in the works that we do. Abiding in Christ empowers the Christians to live the abundant life. We're living a good life, but we're living much more than a good life. We're living a moral life, but it's much more than a moral life because we are living that life abiding in Christ. And that's the key that's going to separate those from the left and the right on the judgment day. Oh, there'll be many that will cry out, well, didn't we do this? Didn't we do these good works? Didn't we do this good? Yes, but I never knew you. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, I never knew you. Why? Because you're not abiding in Him. And that's the key that's critical to what we're doing. Okay, so if we want to bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. Well, what's the the key to abiding in, how do I abide in Christ? Well, the next point tells us that. We abide in Christ by obeying the commandments that Jesus Christ gives. And look how this is pointed out. We abide in His love, John 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, a lot of folks want to edit this. I love the Lord, but they don't keep His commandments. In fact, they want to revise His commandments. They want to edit the commandments. All they want to do is just say, well, I love the Lord. That's not what the Lord says here, is it? If you love the Lord, what are you going to do? You will abide in my love. You will keep my commandments. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. That's the standard. That's the benchmark that we are to follow. Oh, there are many that love the Lord, but few that will abide in Him and keep His commandments. By keeping His commandments, we're His friends. Look down at John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, there are some folks today that misread that, and they'll say, well, God is and Jesus are friends of everybody. Well, that's not what verse 14 is saying. You are my friends if what? If you do what I command you. Oh, that's not too enjoyable to hear in our current society. But that's what he says here. If we are to obey God, then we'll keep his commandments and we'll be his friends. And by keeping his commandments, 1 John 3:24 says that we will abide in him. Now, much more can be said by each of these, so I'm hurriedly going over these. But obedience is the key to abiding in Christ. And this principle is clearly taught in the Scripture. This principle, as we pointed out, governed Jesus. He was abiding in God and doing what God said. That was his relationship. He obeyed his Father's commandments. Well, Jesus wanted to do John 4:34. My meat or my food, depending on what translation you read, is to do the will of him who sent me. You see, just as food, just as our eating is so critical to our existence here, that was just as critical to the Lord's existence as well. Well, obedience to God governs our conduct as well. And 1 John really is an epistle that emphasizes this all the way. If I love God, I'm going to govern my conduct as God says that I should govern it. Otherwise, John says, if you say you love God and do not keep His commandments, he says you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Pretty blunt words, but that's the truth. If I'm going to obey God, then that's going to change the way that I behave. All right, and as we look further, one cannot abide in Christ without obeying His commandments. There's no way. There's no way. You just can't be a Christian unless you do what God tells you to do. Doesn't that make sense? That seems pretty simple to me. But I cannot abide in Christ unless I obey the commandments that Jesus Christ has given me to do. Okay, so let's look at the next point. How do I obey? By loving. You know, the secret to obeying is loving. The secret to abiding is obeying. And the secret to bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. Well, let's look at this concept of love. Do I love God? Yes. You go out on the streets, you talk to anybody. Yes, I love God. Well, let's see what the Scripture says about that. There's three different levels of obedience. First of all, the level of fear. you obey, because it's going to be real bad for you if you don't obey. There's going to be some punishment. And then there's a level of I need to. And that's more on the level of selfishness, because I need to obey doing this so that I will benefit in this way. And if I don't do that, then I'm not going to do that, and I want the benefit, so I'm going to obey. And then here's the highest form, and that's the obedience because we want to. And I want to do that because of the one, I respect the one that is asking me to do that, or I respect the one that will have a bearing on my part. I love the person who is asking me to do that way. Well, unfortunately today, many, and I'll even say many Christians, obey on the first two levels here. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to obey. And they completely miss the benefits of abundant living because they're not obeying in love. Now, Jesus has asked us to obey with love. And look over in John 14, there in verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, I've talked with folks for many, many years that weren't living as they ought to live. They weren't teaching what they ought to teach. And without exception, they'll say, "But I love God. I love Jesus." What does John 14, 15 tell me? If I love Him, then I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I'm going to teach what He wants me to teach. And then other verses as well there. In verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." See, there's some folks today that they really get their back up over this word keep, because that puts an obligation on them. They have to do something, and they don't want to do it. But Jesus said, "You will keep my command." Then look at verse 24, the opposite. "He who does not love me does not keep my word." That's pretty blunt, I believe, whenever it comes in that. Jesus appeals to our sense of love. Why are we here? Why do we bear fruit? Because we love God, and we love the Lord for what He has done for us. The Lord knows that without our love, our obedience is going to falter and fail. The secret to consistent Christianity is this point right here, love. The explanation for inconsistent Christianity is right here, love. There are some that want to be a Christian on Sunday, but not on Monday. It's all ritual mechanics to them. And they're missing out on this very point that the Lord is stressing right here. Those who obey because they have to or need to are never going to be consistent. Because once they reach that level that they're trying to gain, you know, once I've made all my check marks, okay, I'm going to heaven, so, you know, I don't have to do anything else. They're going to fail to enjoy this abundant living. So look at our obedience and ask yourself the question, why do we, or maybe personalize it and make it more, why do I obey Jesus? Do I obey Him because I want to, because of love? When true love motivates us to obey, we will abide in Christ and we'll bear fruit. But there's something more besides love. What is it? Knowing. The secret of loving is knowing. The more that two people know each other, the more they're going to love each other. We see that in relationships. You start out on a very superficial relationship, and then you get to know each other and develop interest and pretty soon you do know each other very well. But whenever there's that lack of knowledge, then there's that lack of relationship as well. And so the point that we see applied to Christ is that the more we know the Lord, the more we're going to love and obey Him. And especially the more that we grow in our understanding of Him. Look down in John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Do you appreciate the greater love that Christ has? You come to know that because of the knowledge that you have in Christ. We are more likely to walk in love if we know the love that the Lord has for us. And here's a very simple principle of Christianity. Increase our knowledge of Jesus, then, and our love for Jesus will increase. It's just a consequence. This is what happens. As I increase my knowledge of Jesus, then my love for Jesus is going to grow more and more. Well, that brings us then, how do I know the Lord? That brings us to the next and final point. The secret of knowing is reading. And guess what we're to read? The Bible. The more we communicate, the more that understanding occurs, and the more the understanding occurs, the greater the love is. How does the Lord communicate with us? Through the Bible. Well, if I never read the Bible, how is the Lord going to communicate with me? Oh, you hear all kinds of crazy answers to that point. You know, anywhere from indigestion because of a breakfast meal to some dream and vision that they've had as a consequence of the indigestion. How do I know the Lord? How do I communicate? How does the Lord communicate with me? Not on a verbal, not through a mental communicates through the Bible. The point is so simple. And we'll talk about this on our December Wednesday night lessons. But the more we communicate with the Lord, the better we're going to know Him. And the Lord communicates through His Word. That's why it was given. Why do you think the Bible was given to us? It was part of God's plan. It was the process of the abundant living that we have. I can speak from experience, and I can say that the happiest and most contented and most assured Christians I've ever known are those that read their Bible every day. And they turn to their Bible in times whenever the life just seems so traumatic. That's what the Lord is saying here. The more we read the Bible, the better we're going to know Jesus. How else are you going to know the Lord? Well, I went to Bible classes all the time when I was a little. I taught Bible. But have you attained that superior knowledge of the Lord that you need nothing more? I don't think you'd say that. How have you grown in your knowledge and your understanding of the Lord? That's part of Christian maturity. And I'm afraid that on the judgment day, many are going to be judged immature because they just don't read their Bible. They find other reading sources more appealing. After all, they know all that stuff. Are you serious? Is this really the way that you're thinking? That's the way you're acting. But the more we read the Bible, the better we'll know Jesus. That's like Brother N.B. Hardeman said, that's un-get-overable. You just can't get over that or get around that. That's just a simple fact. All right, the Bible reading is a catalyst to the abundant life that we have in Christianity. that's kind of like the fuel that keeps you running. The more you read the Bible, the more you're energized, the more you're fueled, the more you're refreshed in your spirit. Don't read the Bible, you're going to run out of fuel real quick. Well, as we look at this point then, look at how it all stacks up. And as I said at the beginning, we started at the bottom. Here's the result. All right, how do we get to that result? Well, by reading, we come to know. By knowing, we come to love. By loving, we come to obey. By obeying, we come to abide. By abiding, we come to bear fruit. And by bearing fruit, we experience the abundant life. Isn't that simple? You know, God always makes things so simple. And yet, many Christians, they have no joy in Christianity because they missed the very first step. And so if you're lacking in the abundant life, let me challenge you. Look at your reading schedule. What's the first thing you read in the Bible in the morning? As you look at your reading sources throughout the day, what's the majority that you read? What percentage of the Bible do you read each day? That's one of those questions that you just, you know, you've gone to meddling once you start asking that. The psalmist, Psalms 1, his delight was in the meditation of the Word of the Lord. He found that abundant life. How sad that we have the full revelation that the psalmist didn't. And we just kind of let it sit at home. And then when it gets ready to go to Bible class or worship, we'll pick it up and we'll bring it and then we'll take it back and put it where it was, never opening it in between. By neglecting the Word of God, many do not experience the abundant life. All right, look at what the Lord said. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be filled full. John 15:11. See, the Lord wants to give you a joy, as 3 John 4 says, greater joy. No greater joy. And the word greater there refers to that which cannot be matched. You know, you tell your child, well, I love you so much, and you try to explain to them what so much is. And you just can't. Well, that's the greater joy that we're finding here. It is an inexpressible degree of blessing in your life. The Lord wants to give you that joy. And it's not a secret thing. It's not something that you have to do the impossible task. He says, I've given it to you right here. I've spoken these things to you, that my joy may remain in you. Now, the purpose of sharing the secrets of the abundant life, every person ought to be filled with the joy of Christ. That's what the Lord, that's the objective, that's the mission. The Lord wants you and me to be filled with an inexpressible joy and blessedness. Well, every person ought to experience the abundant life that the Lord offers. But do we? And that's the troubling question that we come to the end here. Let the Word of God, the Bible, be the catalyst that brings the chain reaction leading one to a truly abundant life. Do you see? By reading, you come to know God. By knowing God and Jesus, you come to love them for what they've done. By loving God and Jesus, you want to obey what they say. And by obeying God and Jesus, you come to abide in them and in their lives. No other way to get into them than and abide. You've got to obey. And by abiding in Christ, you're bearing fruit. And by bearing fruit, you find the abundant life that Jesus has come to give you. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful lesson that is. And really, as you look at all those points that Dean has brought out during this entire period of study, they all unite together. Here is how we, as individual Christians, and as the church collectively Christians, can find the greatest blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Well, my notes have run out, so I'm going to quit. And that will give you a few moments to visit and to fellowship with others. I hope that these points challenge you as they do me. And as you know, as I said, this is just a summary. You can look at each one of these points, and Dean has really examined these during the period of study that will help us. So I hope that study has been helpful to you. Thank you very much.